All right, here we go. Quiet!
Quiet! Quiet!
Roll up!
Hello and welcome to the Big Picture Podcast, where we take a look at the latest movie news, the films of today and yesterday, and put it all into some sort of context. Seated across the microphone from me is Film Buff Online contributing editor, Natasha Pagutsky.
And seated across the microphone from me, albeit eating his lunch, is Film Buff Online editor-in-chief, Rich Dries. How's it going, Rich?
Well, I'm satisfying some hunger, but...
You and I both.
Really? It's the most wonderful time of the year. Yes, it's Oscar nominations. I know I sometimes crap on the Oscars, and everybody, I think, has a love-hate relationship with the Oscars. You understand that sometimes it's kind of promotional, and sometimes the Academy makes some weird choices over the years, like Crash for Best Picture.
Or Annie Hall.
Oh, yes. Annie Hall's a good film.
I love Annie Hall.
Yeah, but the year, you know, it beat Star Wars for Best Picture. That is a head scratcher in my book as well. But every year there's a hope for great new exciting nominations, and that the Academy will vote the right way, which is for the movies you like, and hopefully they won't vote the wrong way, which is all the movies you don't personally like. And that's how the Oscars work. So the nominations were just made a couple of hours ago. We're just sitting down now. We're having our first real discussion between the two of us about those nominations, despite we did have a couple of text messages back and forth as they were being announced.
Indeed.
But first of all, let's give it up for both The Favorite and Roma for getting 10 nominations each. The Favorite, which is Yorgos Lanthimos's latest film, which I really enjoyed this year.
Loved it.
Yeah, I was very floored when I saw it back in October at Philadelphia Film Festival. And you got to pick up with it a little bit later.
I caught it on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
A good Christmas movie.
Yeah.
and of course, Roma is one of the, has now become only the fifth film in Academy Award history to be nominated as both a Best Foreign Language Film and in the main Best Picture category.
And it is also breaking boundaries as it is a first for a streaming service, correct? Or is it just for Netflix to be in Best Picture?
I believe it is for streaming services overall. This has been a great year for streaming services. Between Netflix having both Roma and The Ballad of Buster Scruggs getting some nominations. Mm-hmm. Buster Scruggs got 3 nominations, including one for Best Original Song, When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings.
That is, I just want to go back for a second here.
Sure.
It is not the first for a streaming service.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Manchester by the Sea.
That's right, that was Amazon.
Yes.
Okay, so first for Netflix, though.
Yes, first for Netflix. Finally catching up here.
But these were also two films that Netflix kind of pushed their theatrical window a little bit on. They said, okay, we'll release them out. We'll give them a wider release than we normally would. Buster Scruggs still only had a 2-week release. I think Roma went a couple of weeks more than that. But they were in far more theaters than they normally would before they premiered on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So, you know, gave a lot of more people a chance to see them, you know, before they premiered on the small screen there.
I know Roma right now is screening in Philadelphia. If you're in the Philadelphia area, please go check it out.
Yes, definitely. Because I understand if you see it on a big screen, it's just that much more sumptuous in terms of the cinematography, which it was also nominated for. So Roma and The Favorite are the leads, and that's pretty exciting.
Yes.
Alfonso Cuarón, yet another nomination. I've lost track of how many he has. And then, surprisingly, Adam McKay's Vice had 8 nominations, including Best Director and Best Picture. I say surprisingly because while I liked the film, I don't think it was as good as his last film, The Big Short. And a lot of critics that I talked to seem to have, you know, some not big problems with the film, but they weren't 100% happy with it. They were like, this feels a little off, or things like that. I mean, I'm not going to begrudge Vice its nominations for, obviously for makeup, for transforming Christian Bale into Dick Cheney. Never once did I think I'm looking at Christian Bale under a pile of foam rubber makeup or anything like that. I was very convinced I was looking at the evil, evil Dick Cheney.
Can we just say for a moment, Christian Bale, you are now officially the new Daniel Day-Lewis when it comes to film transformations.
Yes, definitely. So I was, you know, glad to see that. Amy Adams got a supporting actress nomination for Vice, which was very good. She's very good in the role. Some of those nominations, you know, I don't have too much of a problem with, but one or two of them, you know, but I was really kind of surprised pleasantly that, you know, he got the big picture nom. Best picture nom, excuse me. And he's got the big picture nom, too, because we love him.
Well, speaking of best picture noms that mm-hmm. we didn't really agree with, how about Bohemian Rhapsody?
Oh, my God. Ugh. What is that movie doing there? Really? That is such a populist...
I liked it. It's fun, but it's not best picture material.
No, I could see that. No, it's nowhere near best picture material, quite honestly.
Maybe best actor material, but that's about it. When it comes to the big ones, that's all I really give it.
I mean, yes, obviously always with a best picture category where you can have anywhere between 5 and 10 nominees and you're still locked into just 5 nominees for best director, some of those films are not going to have their directors nominated. Having Bohemian Rhapsody in there, obviously Bryan Singer was never going to be nominated.
No.
Due to his antics.
Yeah.
But also, Ryan Coogler, who directed Black Panther, not nominated, but Black Panther is for Best Picture.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate oversight, but, you know, I'm kind of looking at the Best Picture lists, and I'm thinking I'm not sure there's anybody I'd kick out of there. Except maybe Adam McKay. I mean, as much as I like Vice, I might want to put Coogler in there over McKay.
And I say that, not
having seen Cold War.
I know people would say Bradley Cooper's snub for Star mm-hmm. is Born.
Yes.
I'm going to say this right now. I liked his direction better than his performance.
Okay. Well.
For Star is Born. I did. I liked his direction better than his performance. And
so you would swap out his best actor nomination
for a best director? Yeah.
Okay. Then you've created a hole in best actor. What would you put into there?
John David Washington for Black Klansman.
Okay. No. I wanted to think about that for a second. Yeah, that's a good call. I like that call. I like that call very much. Okay, we're kind of bouncing around here, and you know, with our first impressions, and you know, I wanted to hit snubs later, but I guess it's all one big jumbled mess right now.
By the way,
because that's how you react to these things. Yes,
true. Best actress.
Mm-hmm.
I really, 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 apart from Glenn Close, want to throw out that the rest of this category is all first-time nominees.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yes, that's right. And Glenn Close is, I believe, the current living actor who has had the most nominations without a win. I think she's had 6 or 7 nominations, because I've been kind of like, after the nominations finished, I've been working on a couple of pieces mm-hmm. to keep publishing through the day on various aspects of the awards here. Actually, I was in the middle of writing up my thing about snubs when you arrived to record. I came across something about Glenn Close like that, and I wanted to go back and research that really quick. So I might have a separate piece about that today on Film Buff Online.
Wonderful.
Yes.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Something I want to put towards you. Golden Globes.
Yes.
Glenn Close won for The Wife.
Okay.
And upset a lot of people who were thinking that Lady Gaga was going to sweep that award flat. But then, I can't remember if it was the SAG Awards or the BAFTA Awards, they ended up tying and sharing the award for Best Actress.
Oh, okay. So you're saying, does Glenn Close actually have some momentum here going into the Oscars? And I think maybe yes.
Well, I think she may, but is it enough, and can they tie an award at the Oscars? I think they can.
I believe there have been ties. Yes, I'm trying to remember.
Actually, there have been ties at the Oscars. There were 6 times that this has happened in the past 91 years.
Okay.
Best Actor in 1932.
Mm-hmm.
We also had Best Documentary Short in 1950. Best Actress in 1969, when it was shared between Katharine Hepburn.
Yes.
and Barbara Streisand.
Oh, okay.
Best documentary feature again in 1987. Best live.
What was the tie in 87? Do you have the titles there?
Mm-hmm. Down and Out in America.
Okay.
And Artie Shaw, Time is All You've Got.
Oh, okay.
We have Best Live Action Short in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
Shared. I'm sorry. I have to be really.
I know. I know where you're going.
You know.
Just read it out.
Franz Kafka's It's a Wonderful Life, which was written and directed by
Mr. Peter Capaldi, of whom we are fans of.
Very much so. And the other one was called Trevor, LGBTQ youth film.
Yeah.
There was also a tie for best sound editing in 2013,
mm-hmm.
When Zero Dark Thirty and Skyfall took the prize.
Okay.
And that's it.
All right. So, not entirely unheard of to have a tie.
Rare, but not unheard of.
Rare. So we'll see what happens. Personally, I would just kind of like let Glenn Close have this one. Everybody else, this is their first time. They've all got great careers ahead of them. You know, I'm excited because I thought Melissa McCarthy's performance in Can You Ever Forgive Me was fantastic. And also, I was
Olivia Colman. I can't say enough about Olivia Colman's performance.
Oh, she was amazing in that.
Yeah.
Can You Ever Forgive Me wasn't really well seen, I don't think. I don't think a lot of people got to it. And so I was excited.
How many people were there when you saw it?
Wow. Hardly enough to get a good pickup game of basketball going.
Damn.
We'll just leave it at that. It was like less than 10 people. And also, Richard E. Grant in the movie was fantastic. So, and he's got a
he always gives a good performance.
Yes, yes.
And I think he's so underrated. Mm-hmm. Please, people, Academy, put him in more movies where he can be out front and seen. Because I'm going to tell you, Logan, great performance. He's just that person you go, oh, I know him, but I don't know from what.
Yeah, people need to know Richard E. Grant, not just know Richard E. Grant.
I've known Richard E. Grant since Dracula.
I've been a fan of his all the way back into the early 90s.
Same.
And yeah, there's
and
a
not,
lot of stuff.
And not because of Spice World.
God. Yeah, oddly enough, there's another snub. He never got nominated for that.
Or the little vampire.
Oh, boy.
Jeez. You're like, oh, God.
Oh, no. No.
But speaking of snubs.
Yes.
Apart from Bradley Cooper's directing snub, there is one that you and I were both surprised about.
Yes.
Won't You Be My Neighbor, the Mr. Rogers documentary, was snubbed a nomination this year.
Here's what's funny about that. And I messaged you about this the second I saw it. As I was watching the nominations this morning on TV, in between, you know, because they did one group, took a commercial break, came back and did the second group of nominations. Right after that second thing, ABC throws to a 30-second promotional commercial for the Academy Awards. And it's all clips of different nominated films. And you're seeing, oh, there's a clip from First Man. There's a clip from Black Panther. There's a clip from The Favorite, you know, all the films. And then smack dab in the middle of this basic clip package commercial, there's one shot from Won't You Be My Neighbor of Mr. Rogers just zipping up one of his cardigans. And I sat there. I was like, wow, even the promo people at ABC were sort of expecting this to get a nomination, and it didn't. And also, ouch, that's a little, that's just like, ow, rub it in that they're not going to be at the Oscars, which I thought kind of sucked.
Well, let us hope that the biopic that's coming out next year starring Tom Hanks will fare much better.
I'm sure it will. Also in the documentary category, though, Three Identical Strangers didn't get nominated.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
That was the other big documentary that kind of crossed over for more mainstream audiences. So I was a little surprised by that. Just looking at the documentary features, I mean, Free Solo, and I believe that's available on Hulu right now. Minding the Gap is also available on one of the streaming services. And those two kind of got a lot of talk in critic circles. I know that. As an RBG, though, was kind of like the other crossover film from this summer of documentaries that people heard about. And that's really the only one out of that group of documentaries from this year that got a nomination, though.
Also, I'd like to speak of a snub.
Okay.
Claire Foy for First Man.
Yes. Yeah, she carries the emotional through line of that movie because, honestly, Neil Armstrong is so reserved and removed, you don't get a look into that character's emotional life.
Mm-hmm. I know that she would be stuck in the supporting actress category. Mm-hmm. And therefore, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, I would kick out one of the actresses from The Favorite. They both give tremendous performances. But when it comes down to it, I think we both know Regina King is probably going to get it. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it doesn't really matter to have both of them in there representing a movie that neither of them are going to win for. So I would have stuck
Fair
Claire
enough.
Foy
in. Put her in the other sacrificial lamb spot is what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Oh,
therefore,
man.
Therefore, the film gets a little more credibility, particularly her performance. And I gotta admit, there's a part of me that wants the troll picture of Claire Foy and Olivia Colman together that we got from Daniel Craig and Idris Elba.
Oh, God, yes.
Just going, oh, here's my replacement.
Yes.
Claire Foy, Olivia Colman. And I know you're not a big watcher of The Crown, but I'm sure you would have even got that reference.
Yes.
The question is, who would you have kicked out?
Yeah.
Emma Stone or Rachel Weisz?
Emma Stone?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I would have gone to.
I feel bad, but I was kind of like one of those go with your immediate first gut instinct, and it was Emma Stone. I'm sorry, Emma. I still love you.
I love Emma. You're wonderful, but yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think we really took a look into the best supporting actor category here outside of mentioning Richard Grant.
I popped a bra earlier.
What?
When Adam Driver got nominated, I ended up popping my bra strap.
Jeez.
It's detachable. I fixed it.
Okay.
I'm driving down the road and see Adam Driver. So I'm like, yeah! I'll pop. I'm like, what?
Oh, God. Okay. Moving on. You know, we did talk about Richard Grant before.
Yes.
I like a lot of these people in this category. Adam Driver, of course. Sam Elliott is fantastic in this movie. And honestly, I think he's probably going to be the one who walks away with it.
Sam Elliott?
Yeah. Or Mahershala Ali. It's down to those two, in my opinion.
I'm not going to say Sam Elliott. he's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have a lot of screen time to his name and therefore makes every moment count. However, it's probably either going to go to Mahershala or Sam Rockwell.
You see, I liked Sam Rockwell's performance a lot.
I'm looking at him as
George Bush in Vice. But he played George Bush on film once before in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. He's basically playing George Bush as the president of the galaxy in Zaphod Beeblebrox. You realize this, right?
Yes. I am very much aware of that. However, Sam Rockwell in recent years has become a bit of an award darling, and he has a little more backing to his name at this moment, as does Mahershala Ali. Richard E. Grant is pretty much an unknown. Sam Elliott, whilst gives a great performance, doesn't, I believe, have as much screen time to back up his performance as Lady Gaga or Bradley Cooper. And Adam Driver, whilst giving a great performance and getting very well known at this point, is still, he's Kylo Ren. I don't think he has really, as much work as he has done in the past couple years with, you know, Spike Lee, Terry Gilliam, he's racked up quite a, you know, an impressive resume. He's still getting his feet under him when it comes to the dramatic roles in Hollywood. I'm not certain if he's going to break out of the I'm Kylo Ren mold just yet. And therefore, I'm looking at Mahershala or Sam Rockwell, who have given tremendous performances before and have won awards because of them.
Were you like me, and did you audibly retch when they said Ralph Breaks the Internet was a nominee for Best Animated Feature?
I didn't even see it.
Don't. Oh, it's garbage. It's not good.
Just because of what they've done to Mulan, I couldn't.
Nah.
I just don't. When you take, I just don't like the idea of turning traditional hand-drawn animation characters into 3D.
Into
computer-generated. If they were done computer-generated, fine, let them stay that way. If they were done hand-drawn, don't try to change it. That just annoys the shit out of me.
The scene itself was okay in terms of the characters kind of meta-commenting on themselves and the tropes of Disney princesses. But, you know, the way they were animated so differently from how you normally see them was disconcerting, to say the least.
I just can't handle it.
Yeah, and I would say in this change. In this category, for my money, the race is between Isle of Dogs and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Is there really a race?
I love them both equally for different reasons.
But we know which one's going to get it.
Yeah, it's going to go to Incredibles 2, and I'm going to be upset.
No, it's going to Spider-Verse.
You think?
I really think this is the year that Pixar and Disney don't get the award.
That would be nice, honestly. I would be very happy with them not getting awards. in animation, I want to see other studios get more rec. I'm kind of tired with Pixar mostly walking away with that.
Last year, you really wanted Breadwinner. I really wanted Vincent.
Yes. The Vincent Van Gogh thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was incredible.
Oh, that was beautiful too.
But I think we finally found a movie that transcends the typical Disney comedy for kids in its animation. And that's going to last a lot longer. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
You come on. When we saw that movie, you said to me, which is the best Marvel film of the year?
And I said Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
See my point?
Which I think it's incredible that Marvel has, you know, between, you know, Marvel Studios and Marvel in conjunction with Sony, they have two superhero films nominated in different categories for best type of feature, which obviously we've never seen before. Black Panther, as we said up top, is the first superhero movie to be in the best picture category. Roma is the first time in about 6 years we've seen a film in both Best Foreign Language and Best Picture. Black Panther, 7 nominations, including the first time an African-American production designer has been up for an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a lot of firsts, a lot of different records and things that are happening within Oscars. And that's always fun to watch and try to figure out what exactly is going on and how exciting it's all going to be.
And yet there will still be people retching over the fact that there is no female in the director's category again.
We could have used that. I'm not sure exactly. The director maybe of Can You Ever Forgive Me, which I thought was a really good film. And I apologize for not remembering her name right away. And maybe I'm part of the problem. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that we would have liked to have seen. A lot of things that were surprising in a good way, a couple in a bad way. But that's always the Oscars.
And I think that just about wraps us up for this week.
That's right. Now remember, you can find us online at bigpicturepod.com. And we are now available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. So either use the link in the show notes post or head directly there, search, and hit subscribe. And if you like what you're hearing, leave a positive review, because that always helps us connect with new listeners. And of course, we'll be back next week with more Oscars talk, news analysis, and more.
And that's all right here on the Big Picture Podcast.